Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Keith Morgan is with Story County Emergency Management, and he visited us at KHOI last week. As always, Keith had lots of useful information, this time about keeping us safe now that winter is here. So, Keith, as we all know, winter is upon us, and so there's a number of things that you've been doing to get ready for that. Can you tell us about one exercise that recently took place to help people out in winter?
Sure. A lot of folks have seen those gates that are up there by I-35 and Highway 30, and those gates are what will close off Interstate 35 between Ames and Mason City if there's some reason that the Iowa DOT feels that it's unsafe for travelers to continue north. We have a plan in place to be able to take care of motorists should the Iowa DOT close the interstate, which they've done pretty much once a year over the past few years.
And that could be for blowing and drifting snow, winds, actual snow accumulation, or if there's a snow-related accident, any of those things?
Any of those things. If the road becomes unsafe or if the road is impassable, then they'll go ahead and close it. Oftentimes, we don't get much of a notification that they're going to close it, so that's why we have a plan put together to rapidly be able to react to it and take care of those motorists. There's been times I've gotten a little bit of a heads up. There's been times that it's as they're closing it. So what we've done is we've put a checklist together that integrates a whole bunch of different partners across this area. We've involved Ames, Iowa State, our ham radio operators, Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, lots of different people. And the way that it works is either when I get the notification or one of our dispatch agencies, such as Story County Sheriff's Office or Ames, we go through this checklist, and it puts out signs to let the motorists know where to go to, and we take them off at Dayton so that they can take care of themselves. They can utilize those hotels that are in that area. The truckers, we've worked with Iowa State to try and make sure that the parking lots by Hilton Coliseum are plowed so that they can park their trucks there, keep them off of the smaller roads. Our ham radio operators will actually get on a CB and let the truckers know that the road's closed. We have also worked with Ames Visitors and Convention Bureau, and they will call around to all of the hotel rooms because come day to day, we never know how much hotel capacity we're going to have. And if they let us know that there's very few rooms, then we'll start working with the Red Cross and our rapid action team for sheltering to be prepared to open up a shelter to take care of these motorists if they do get stranded. The shelter is set up at the First Christian, so we'll have a place to get them out of the weather. We have arrangements with the Salvation Army to assist the Red Cross when it comes to actually doing the feeding if we need to do that. It's one big team that comes together and fills whatever gaps are there.
So you've run through kind of a dry run of this recently, is that right?
Yep. In the middle of the day, we did what we call a call down. We simulated that the call came into us. Each of us ran through our checklist to make sure phone numbers were correct and that everybody knew what to do. And we identified some phone numbers that have changed, or we included our rapid action team for sheltering. This was their first time, to make sure that we could contact them and move on through. We capture these, what we call after action items, and we go through and update the plan or do some more training if we need to make sure that it's ready to go at a moment's notice.
What happens at the other end? Do you know? The other end of the closure is in Mason City?
Yes. My counterpart has the same kind of a plan set up for there. And we've also talked about those motors that are in between the two gates when they go down.
That's what I was going to ask about next.
We in Story County at least have made arrangements, and the dispatch agencies know to contact the Red Cross if somebody has dropped off, let's say, either in Huxley or up in Story City, that may not have the capability to find shelter. We'll work with the Red Cross and make sure that folks in between get taken care of. It's a pretty wide open area, and it's important that anybody that's driving here in Iowa in the wintertime is prepared for the eventuality of being stuck and stranded out there as they're traveling.
So hopefully people are ready, but you do what you can to get them off the road when needed and get them to safe environments.
Yes, and that's it's good that we do get a little bit of notification, and we really appreciate the assistance that everybody gives us on this.
So that leads us to the next thing I guess we should talk about, which is being ready for winter driving.
That's, you don't want to think about this as the snow's coming down and you're at work or someplace like that. So I hope everybody right now is thinking about it. The skies are gray and there's that little white stuff coming down. And what they need to start off with is their car. Make sure their car is ready for the winter. And that means checking your tires that may have been okay back in the spring, but now there's a little bit more tread going on it. First off, make sure that you have tires that are suitable for the snow that's going to be coming. Check your battery and also your windshield wiper fluid. That slush that gets on your windshield is one of those ways that you could be involved in an accident because you don't have it cleared out.
Can you check your battery yourself, or do you need to bring that somewhere that they can check that it's powerful enough to get through the winter?
In the old days, you used to be able to check the fluids that were inside
right.
of them. Now that's not so easy, so take it on into either your
okay.
mechanic or one of the parts places. They'll put your battery under a load to check and see how much capacity it has, and that's a very important thing because
– So it may have been fine all summer,
yep.
but suddenly it gets cold and – No good.
Exactly.
Okay.
So get it checked out now before it's cold and, mm-hmm. and you're stranded out there. Other things are your tire pressure itself, as the air gets colder, is going to decrease. Get it back inflated. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, go open up your trunk, check that spare tire that you haven't looked at for years. Make sure that it's filled. I just about a month ago stopped and helped out a lady that her car had a flat, and her spare was also pretty much flat. Once you got your car up and running, make sure that you have a good windshield scraper. And don't do the porthole driving where you just scrape a tiny little hole that you're looking out of. Clean the entire windshield. Make it so that you're much safer out there driving. After that, once you get into the car, or even before you go out, the first question you always got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is this trip with the snow coming down, the roads icy and everything else really worth either damaging my car and having to have it in the shop or worse, injuring or killing yourself or somebody else? So start with that. Do good risk management before you even venture out to that car. If you are going to go out to your car, make sure your cell phone is fully charged before you ever get in the car. And when you sit down, check that fuel gauge. You shouldn't really be driving around out there with less than a half a tank of fuel at any time because that fuel may be what keeps you warm and safe if you should happen to go off the road. Some other things, have some warm clothes. In fact, before you ever get in the car, dress like you're going to walk to where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you may think to yourself, oh, I don't need a thick coat. The car's
right,
nice
I'll
and warm.
Be in the car, yeah.
Until we have something mm-hmm. like what happened last year with the 70-car pile up there on I-35. And so make sure that you've got that sort of stuff in there. Make sure that you have something like a collapsible shovel so that if you do get a little bit stuck, you can shovel it out and get yourself out of there. A couple of candles can also keep you warm. If you do go into the ditch or something like that and you're way out in the middle of nowhere and there's nobody else to help you, then you need to consider whether you're going to run the car or not. Carbon monoxide poisoning is a real risk when you're sheltering in a car. So if you are going to run the engine, the most important thing is to make sure that the tailpipe is clear. Also, only run it for about 15 minutes or so out of every hour and crack the window slightly so that you don't keep warm but succumb to carbon monoxide poisoning while you're out there. If you do get into an accident like we saw on I-35, you have a choice to make. Do I stay with the car and stay warm, or do I abandon the car and move away from it because of the other cars going by? I can't tell you an answer right now what's the best thing to do, but if you're considering that, if there's still a lot of traffic on the road, if you are going to abandon your car, get a long ways away from it. As we saw from the video, those accidents can happen and they can – you have people taking the ditch, so get as far away from that car as you possibly can if you're going to abandon it.
And if you're in a more rural area and you either get stuck or maybe you go into the ditch because you can't see the edge of the road, is it best to, in that case, to stay with your car rather than to try to walk if you're not sure where the nearest building or house or anything is?
The key you just said is if you're not sure where the nearest house is. You might see a house in the distance, but when you get up to it, you might find that it's an abandoned house and that there's nobody there. Or if the winds come up, you may lose your direction because the visibility does go down. Typically now with cell phone coverage that we have, that's why I said have a good charged up cell phone. Turn on that GPS location if you don't have it. Call 911. Let them know where you're at, and they'll get somebody else out there to help you. When you do start walking, a couple of years ago, unfortunately, we had an elderly couple north of here that tried to walk to a home, and they never made it there. So it's, again, it's a decision. You got to look around. If you can see a home with lights on really close by, then it might be worth it. But if you're not sure that there's help in a pretty close distance, it's probably better to stay with your car.
Now, I lived in Montana for a while, and we used to keep a can of Sterno in the car. You mentioned candles, but Sterno would serve the same purpose, give you a little extra warmth?
Exactly, a little bit of Sterno. And if there's more than one person in the car, it's not a time to be shy. Go ahead and share that body heat. Keep yourself warm because in Iowa, we'll probably be able to get to you within nothing more than a few hours, maybe a half a day at the absolute most. And you can, if you have made a few preparatory preparations for this kind of event, you'll be okay, but you got to do some thinking now so that you don't endanger yourself down the road. Other things that I'd like to get out right now, along with this, people are going to start using alternative heating devices in their house. If used properly, that's okay, but make sure that you're following the instructions. Make sure you have a good smoke detector and a good CO detector in your house. And never leave those devices unattended. Make sure that there's somebody there, an adult there watching it to make sure that nothing goes wrong with it and that it doesn't start a fire. Unfortunately, every winter we see that happening, and smoke detectors and CO detectors are absolutely essential for your own safety.
Are the new space heaters that they make safer?
They've incorporated a lot of safety features, the tip-over feature, so that if it tips over, it automatically shuts down. A lot of that stuff has made it safer. Make sure that it comes from a good quality provider, that it has something like a UL safety designation on it. All of those things are important. But even with those kinds of things, people may put them too close to curtains and things like that. The human has got to be a part of it, too, to make sure that they're used safely. Definitely don't ever try and use charcoal or anything like that because of the carbon monoxide. Use things that are designed for it.
What kinds of other dangers do you see in winter?
Oh, there's lots of them. Just going outside, the yak's tracks or putting something on your shoe, slips and falls are the most
of broken bones.
Lots of
winter.
Broken bones, young and old alike. It's not just the old. So invest in those. But it doesn't do you any good to invest in them if you don't use them. Make sure that when it's that kind of weather out there, put them on, use them, take things slow and easy. That's in the wintertime. That's the most important thing, is to take it slow and easy and think about, is it really worth it? I love being outside in the wintertime. But you just got to think ahead before you do that.
Yeah, I also like being outside in winter and just find that if you dress for it and you're ready for it, it can be a wonderful experience, that it can be lovely.
Exactly. After a snowfall or something like that, but dress warmly. Let people know where you're going just in case you fall, you hurt yourself, so that they can go and locate you quickly and get you back to safely.
So if we get lots of snow or a heavy snow, how should people approach that in terms of clearing snow?
Well, again, make sure that you're properly dressing for it. That's a great time for the axe tracks and stuff like that. Take it slow and easy, again, especially if it's that wet, heavy snow. We see a lot of an increase in heart attacks and things like that when people are shoveling. Be a good neighbor. If you have somebody that's next to you that's elderly, especially if you have a snowblower, offer to do it for them. Most of the time, they're going to say they're too proud for it. But if you just get up in the morning and you just happen to have to do a little bit more, mm-hmm. which is their sidewalk and like that, that's a really great thing to do. But make sure that you take it as slow and easy. It's usually very cold and blustery afterwards. Watch out. Have that full face protection against frostbite as the snow is out there. Take it easy. But it's important that if you do have a sidewalk, to get it cleared so that people can safely walk as they're enjoying the wintertime.
Right. I know in Ames it's the homeowner's responsibility to clear the sidewalk. I imagine it's that way in most surrounding towns as well.
Yeah, most towns do have an ordinance that within a certain amount of time. And also, mm-hmm. when it comes to clearing the roads, they may have snow ordinances. Check with your city to see what the snow ordinances are. Yeah. They're not doing it just because they want to. It helps them get those roads cleared quickly so that first responders can get to where they need to go. Another thing is when you're shoveling that snow, if the snow gets deep, if you've got a fire hydrant that's out in front of your house or just down the street, help out your firefighters and help out yourself, help out your neighbors. Go and shovel the snow away from it so they can find it quickly, access it, and respond to those events quickly.
Mm-hmm. They come around and they put flags on them usually so you can see it even when the snow gets deep. But we always either – someone in the neighborhood always tries to keep it cleared so it's more visible and accessible.
Accessible, even if it's visible, making it so it's accessible. Seconds count in those kind of situations. So, mm-hmm. again, be good neighbors, be a good community. Make sure all the hydrants in your community are shoveled out. Those in your neighborhood, start with that.
If people have questions, they can always call your office or get additional information on your website.
Exactly. At storycountyiowa.gov/EMA, we've got information on winter preparedness, and then they can give us a call at 515-382-7315.
Thank you for coming by and reminding us to get ready for winter.
It's something that's coming whether we want it or not.
That was Keith Morgan from Story County Emergency Management. I also asked Keith about the value of KHOI to him and his organization. So, Keith, one more thing before you go. You know it's our fund drive. We're trying to get people to become members to recognize the value that KHOI provides to the community and become members. So if KHOI didn't exist, you'd have to find other ways to get some of your important messages out to people.
Yes, there's since you're focused locally, we can address the local topics, unlike trying to get the message through one of the Des Moines or one of the other channels around here, both radio and television. You focus on the local story, and that gives us the opportunity to, again, feed back to the residents of Story County what's important to them.
Well, we appreciate you coming down here once a month, and hopefully our listeners do too, and they'll call in and become members.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.